Today's Shiz Masech Becharis, Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Gimel and Aleph at the new Perek, Mumin Elu. Until now, we've been primarily speaking about Mumin on an animal, which make a Bechar Bal Mum. Our Perek now turns to Mumin on a Koyin. That the Halach is that a Koyin who's a Bal Mum may not do the Avoida. And our Perek now discusses what is considered a mum to disqualify a kohen from doing the avoda. Actually, as will become quite clear in Mitzvah Shem in today's shir, there are three categories of mumim by a kohen. There's a mum which is called a mum, that if a kohen does the avoda when he is a bal mum, besides of course being over a lav, he also disqualifies that avoda. It has to be redone. If there's a mum that is in the category of Eina Shova Bizarre Shal Aaron, an individual who isn't look like the other Kohanim, as we'll learn, that shouldn't be done either, but he is not disqualified the Avoida if he does the Avoida when he's a Eina Shova Bizarre Shal Aaron. And then there's a third category of mum, which is actually a good portion of our parak as well, Maris Ayin. It's not the right Derech Eretz that such a person that looks this way should do the Avoida. And all three categories will be discussed at great length in this Perek Be'ezra Hashem. The Mefarshim make a nice point. We know, just like the Gemara says, that David HaMelech, when he saw there was a Mageifa in Klal Yisrael, was Mesak and instituted that we should say 100 brachas every day. The Gematria of Habmum is the same as the Gematria of Omein. And if somebody wants to avoid having Mumim, and if you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam at length enumerates all of the Mumim that we speak about and summarizes which are the Mumim, he says there are 90 Mumim. Hamum is the Gematria 90, as is 91, as is Omein. If someone says Amen, that helps him avoid having Mumim. Says the Mishnah Mumim Elu, the different Mumim that we've discussed till now by Bechor, Ben Kvuim, Ben Oivrim, whether it's a Mum Kvuim member, it's a Mum Oivr, Paislam Adam, disqualify a person. It's interesting to note that the Ramban and the Rosh omit this entire Perek in their Halachas. And the Divrei Shaul, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, explains, because since we don't have a carbon, since we don't have a base of Migdash, Bizman Hazer, so the din of Mumim doesn't apply. The issue with this, however, is that we know, the Gemara says in Masechet Tainis, that a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine. Because as we know, the Halachas, it's actually going to be referred to in this Perek, that a Kohen who's intoxicated may not do the Avoida, and at any moment the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt, and therefore he can't be caught intoxicated. So why do they omit, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, Bizman Hazeh, why do they omit these halachas? So Rabbi Yosef Shaul explains that just like we learned at the beginning of a Masechta, that even though as soon as a Bechor is born, he is considered a Bechor, and once he's born, you're not allowed to make a mum, something that we discussed extensively. But before he's born, you may make a mum on a bechor while it's in its mother's womb. Or we discuss selling that behemoth to a guy to avoid the problem of bechayra. So too, a kohen may undergo having a mum bizman hazeh because it's like the bechor before he was born, and that's why they omit this perek. But there are, furthermore, the Rishonim point out that the halacha mumim that we speak about kohen also applies to an individual who could be a member of the Sanhedrin. A person who's a member of the Sanhedrin also has to be free of mumim. We've also discussed that the Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, who says that a bal mum should not be a bal tefillah. Furthermore, what is unfortunately or could be unfortunately relevant l'halacha l'maisa is that we know that if a woman's husband disappears, she could unfortunately become an aguna. But if a body is found, we have to be able to positively identify that this is the body of her husband, that she should no longer be considered an Eishes Ish. And there are many Gemaras and many, many Tshuvas from written, what is enough to determine if the body is deteriorated, etc., to determine if that is indeed the man who was her husband. The Paiskim say that anything that's in this para called a mum by an adam is certainly enough of a simon that if the husband had that mum, and now a body is identified with that mum, we could connect that that is the husband who is no longer alive. So it says the Mishnah mumen eila ben kvuim ben oivrim paislam ba'adam. For yes or lay, there are certain mumen furthermore, and the Gemara is going to explain what they are. Hakilan va'alafta va'makmam, shirosha shokot v'sikifas. All these examples will be explained in the Gemara. Or balach ha'toitris. Balach ha'toitris is a hunchback. V'yuda machsha says he may do the avodah, v'cham paislam v'cham say he may not do the avodah. Hakireach is someone is bald, posel. Eza kireach, who is considered bald, that would be considered posel for the avodah. Kol she'en lo shita shalshar, if he doesn't have a line of hair, mukefes moizen loizen, that goes from ear to ear. And yesh lo, but if he does have that line of hair, hareza kosher, he's qualified to do the avodah. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah began with a statement that whatever is a mum by a person is a mum, everything that's a mum by an animal is a mum by a person. Ask the Gemara, how can we make such a rule? Vika Yabelis, the mum of Yabelis that we spoke about in the last parak, the wart, the like Sibarais Vadam, that's only mentioned as a mum by animals and is not mentioned as a mum by people. Furthermore, ask the Gemara, Dak Tavlo, which are different mumim on the eye, the like Sibba Behema, that are only listed in the Torah as a mum by people, not by animals. So how do we connect what is a mum by a person, as by animals, a mum by a person, and so too vice versa? Answers the Gemara, Melef Yalf Madadi. Even the mumim that are not stated by the person, if they're stated by the animal, or vice versa, is enough to say that it's a mum by either or. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us. But Adam, lo nemar by Yabelis. The mum of Yabelis is not stated by the Kohanim. But Behema, lo nemar dak, tavlo. And by Behema, the Torah doesn't mention the mum of dak, tavlo. Says the Braisa, Menayin litin sa omishal zebezeh, v'sa omishal zebezeh. How do we know that the rules of one apply by the other? Tam loimer, Gorov, Gorov, Yalefis, Yalefis. The Torah says the mum of Gorov and Yalefis, both by people, by humans, and by animals, to teach us a Gzeirah Shavah. Says the Gemara, this must be a Gzeirah Shavah, which is Mufni, as we've discussed many times. When there's a Gzeirah Shavah, if there's no question on the Gzeirah Shavah, so the Gzeirah Shavah is great. If there's a question on the Gzeirah Shavah, so then if the words are extra, so even if there's a question on the Gzeirah Shavah, the Gzeirah Shavah stands. But if there are questions on this Gzeirah Shavah, then the Gzeirah Shavah collapses. Says the Gemara that the Gzeirah Shavah, that the Braisa has now suggested that next, the Mumam Adam and Mumam Behema must be Gzeirah Shavah of superfluous words. Do you like Mufni, for if these words are not extra, Ikala Mifrach, we could ask the following question. Adam and Behema lo yalef. We can't learn the halachas that apply to humans from the halachas that apply to animals, because by animal, shikain he atz makrevel a mizbeach. The animal itself is put on the mizbeach. Person, hopefully, is not put on the mizbeach. Behemim my adam lo yalfa, and you can't learn a behemim from adam, shikain the strab of mitzvahs. A person is mechuyu b'mitzvahs. A behemim isn't. And the Reishis Bikurim has a very nice comparison. He says, we know the Gemara Masech the Yuma, when it speaks about the big day kahuna, that the Kohanim have the big day lovin and the big day zov. And the Gemara says that each one of those sets of garments that the Kohen wore have a unique attribute. On one hand, the big day lovin are the begodim that the Kohen wore when he went into the Kaddish Kedoshim. The big day zov he never wore when he went into Kaddish Kedoshim. On the other hand, Bigdei Zav are the begodim that he wore 365 days a year. Bigdei Lavan he only wore on Yom Kippur. So we see, from one hand, the fact that it itself is used for Kedusha gives it a significance. On the other hand, the fact that it's used constantly gives it a significance, very similar to what our Gemara says. Answers the Gemara, La'ai. Absolutely. Afnuy Mifti. Because the words are extra. Because Lichta Rachmani Yalefis. The Torah could have just mentioned Yalefis. V'loibari Garav. And we wouldn't have to say Garav. V'ano Amina. And we can make the following argument. Uma Yalefis Deloy Me'isa. If Yalefis, which is not as mos, is considered have a Muma, Garav, which is mos, Loikoshke. What makes the Garav more mos than the Yalefis? So Rashi explains because the Garev is moist, as we learned in the previous parak. The Elephas is dry. And a moist wart that's oozing liquid is not as, is more repugnant. Another pshat that I saw is that typically the Garev is a larger wart than the Elephas. And that's why it's more moss. Garev, Garev, the Kosh Rachman Alamali. What does the Torah have to say to the word Garev? Lefnuyin. Ask Taisus, if we recall, in the previous parak, we use the word Gerev, and we said the reason the Torah had to say both Gerev and Yalefis, Rav has said this to us on Daf Mem Aleph, just two blat ago, was to teach us that the Yalefis, that the Gerev and Yalefis have to be where there's a bone. So how do we say that the Gerev is extra? We needed to teach us that a Gerev and Yalefis have to be where there's a bone, and without a bone it's not a wart. So Taisra says that that isn't a stira to learning that the words are extra. You could say that the words are extra, even though it also teaches us both that halacha as well. Ask the Gemara. So now, we've established that since the Torah says Gerev and Yalefis both by a Bechor and by Adam, the halachas connect. Ask the Gemara, if that's indeed the case, that what's a mum by one is not a mum, is a mum by the other. So therefore, ask the Gemara of Lichta Rechmana Kul Bechad. Let the Torah list all of the mum just either by animals or by Bechara or by people. The Gerev Yalefis, of course, will have to Gerev Yalefis Hocha V'Hocha to establish the Gzer Shava. The Lilfa, and then we can learn Mahadadi. Why do we have to have lists both by humans and by animals? And those lists are somewhat overlapping. Have the list in one place, and as long as we'll have the Gerev Yalefis to establish the Gzeru Shava, it'll be enough. Answers the Gemara, Bahai Lichta Rechmana. Where would you want that list to be? Ikasa ba'Adam, if the Torah had listed the by Adam, Havo Mina, we would suggest, call the possible Adam, possible Behema. Anything that's a mum by a person, by a human, is a mum by Behema. However, call it that has the foot round. Spoke about that a lot, that the animal's foot is not shaped properly. Uchutin, we also spoke about the mum of the gums being totally uprooted, which the Gemara says, lesna ba'odam, is not a mum by people. Why is not a mum by people? Only a mum by animals. So I saw a number of pshatim derishonim. One is because a person has teeth around his entire mouth. So since he has teeth around his entire mouth, it's much harder, much less likely to see what's doing in the back of the gums if they're uprooted. That's why it's not a visible mum. Another pshat is that the entire mouth of a person is shaped differently than the mouth of an animal. And the mouth of an animal's shape leads itself to see that the gums are uprooted. There are places in the animal's mouth where there are no teeth. We have teeth all around our mouth. And a fourth pshat I saw, very simple pshat. What is the definition of a kosher animal, which a bechor has to be? A kosher animal has to chew its cud. So if it's chewing its cud, its mouth is constantly open. So you're going to see what's doing inside. Hopefully a person's mouth is not open all of the time. So if we had the list only by animals, so certain movement that don't apply by people, we would say, b'behemen lo'amin lo'ilifsma. So ask the Gemara, why not the other way? Let the entire list be by animals, and then we could learn Adam from animal, as says the Gemara. That would also lead to a misunderstanding. Because Havamina, because if the list was written strictly by animals, we would say, call the possible behemoth, possible Adam, only what's a Mumbai behemoth is a Mumbai and Adam. Gibeim v'charim, we'll speak about later in our shir. The last of a behemoth, which are not mumim by an animal, perhaps be Adam nami leilislu, should not be a mum by people as well. So therefore, we had to have lists by people and by animals. But ask the Gemara, v'lichter achvara kul b'chad, all of the mumim that apply to both of them should be written either by the humans or by the animals. V'hach telesnu, and those specific mumim that are unique to humans, or those specific mumim that are unique to animals, b'idach, v'adam lichter achvara b'heima, v'hanach telesnu b'idach lichter b'adam. The Gervi Alephas, Hacha Vahacha, and then write Gervi Alephas by both of them, for Lofi Ma'adadi. So Gemara's question is, why is there a need for some overlap? That some mumim are listed both by people and by animals? Answers the Gemara, Kiritana de Beir Bishmol. The Tana Beir Bishmol, Ka Parsha Shenemra Vinishnas, any Parsha that's repeated, Vinishnas Elabil Shvil Davishnas Chadishpa. Absolutely, says Rabbi Shmol, if you really drill down, you will find that certain mumim that are listed either by Adam or by Behema are extra, because we can learn one from the other. But it's the derech of the Torah that once it mentions things that it must mention, it mentions things that aren't necessarily a chiddush. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Lama li kas rachmana mum ba Adam, mum ba kachim, mum ba bechor. What does the Torah have to say mum by all three of these subjects? By kahanim, by regular kabbonis, and by bechor. Says the Gemara, di tzricha, di kas rachmana mum ba Adam, if the Torah only mentioned mum by a person, shekain nisrabe be mitzvahs. A person has more mitzvahs than anybody else, than an animal or a bechor, obviously. Adam mi bechor, loy asi, shekain hu atz makar v'gabim mizbeach. Kachim b'char loyasi. You can't learn kach from b'char. Shekain kudushasim rachim. The b'char is kaddish as soon as it's born. Ask the Reishis Bikurim. Kayin is also kaddish from when he's born. So why can't we learn the halacha of a kayin from a b'char? Says the Reishis Bikurim. Because the kedusha of a kayin is not like the kedusha of a b'char. A b'char, as soon as it's born, has its full-fledged kedusha. A kohen who's a cotton doesn't have kedushas bechor. You're not allowed to do. A kohen who's a cotton may not do the avoda. A kohen who's a cotton midarais doesn't have an issa tuma. So unlike a bechor that has its full-fledged kedusha as soon as it's born, a kohen doesn't, and you can't learn the halach of a kohen from a bechor. Kachim bechor loyasi shekein kedushas merachim. Adam mekachim loyasi. Shekein hein atzrim kreivim. The animal itself is brought. The person is not brought. Bechor mekachim loyasi, shekein kedushas meruba. Two pshatim. One pshat is, bechor is only one type of carbon. Kachim represent many different types of carbon. It's chattis, an oshrim, an oilum. Another pshat is, bechor by definition is only by a male. Carbonus, sometimes you can bring a female. Says the Gemara, fine. The Torah spoke about the din of mumim by kohanim, by karbonis, and bechayrim, and we can't learn one from the other. But ask the Gemara, as it typically does, why did the Torah still have to say all three? For indeed, says the Gemara, chod mechod alayasya, we can't learn one from one. However, maybe teisi chod metarti. Let the Torah have written the din of mumim only once, only twice, and then the third time, we would be able to learn from the existing two. Ask the Gemara, how would you want it to be? Mehei Taisi, how would you want it to be? Lo lichtav rachmana b'bechor, you'd say that the Torah should not mention b'chor, v'taisi mahanach, and we should learn b'chor from kachim and kahuna, ma'alahanach, chen kedushasim meruba, as we learned, a person has many mitzvahs, a carbon, there's many different cases of kabbaris, the negayim v'pshutim. A bechor is only by something which is kudushasim erechem. Those, a person A kohen doesn't have to have kedushas merechem, as we explained, nor does a regular carbon. Lo lechta bekotchim. Should the Torah not have written the din of mumim by kotchim? The tasting mehanek. We should learn kotchim from bechor and kohen. Ma'ala halnach should kedushas meleim. A kohen doesn't have to do anything to become a kohen. A bechor doesn't have to do anything to become a bechor. An animal, if you want it to be a carbon, you have to be magdishit. Lo lechta ba'adam. So the Torah has left that adam. The tasting mehanek. We should learn adam for kotchim and bechor. Ma'ala hanach. Shehein atzma kraven on gav mizbeach. They themselves are put on the mizbeach, whereas the adam is not. However, Tosfos points out, interesting Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos. He says that even though we have now identified that we can't learn in any type of permutation one from the other, and that's what the Torah had to mention each one of these parashas separately, once the Torah did teach us that there's a concept of a disqualification called a mum, both by kahuna and by bechor and by kabonis, now they are connected, and what the Torah calls a mum by one will be considered a mum for the other. Because once, this is what the Chazon Ish explains to us, once the Torah taught us that there's a concept of mum and that there is a din of mum, so we can learn what is a mum one from the other. Yes, aleim ba'adam. So the Mishnah began by saying whatever is a mum by behem is a mum by adam. And then there's something else. Menani mili, what does that mean? Amar b'yachad amar kro, kol ish ashabay mum mizera aaron, ish sheshova b'zara shal aaron. You have to look like all the other kohanim in order to be considered, a kosher kohen. So there's a very famous chakira in the yeshivas, and there's a nafkamina. When we say there's a psul of a kohen who's einish shava b'zera shel Aaron, should not do the avoider. What does that mean? Doesn't mean it's a mum, but it's not such a serious mum. That's one way of understanding einish shava b'zera shel Aaron. Or doesn't mean there's a new psul, the psul of einish shava b'zera shel Aaron, that the Torah teaches us that you have to look like all the other kohanim, and if you don't look like all the other kohanim, then you shouldn't do the avoider. What's the nafkamina? What would be the halacha if a balmum does the avoida? Was he only over the lav of a balmum? Or was he, the Michas Chinuch asked this question, or was he also over the lav, the issue we'll see soon if it's a lav or not, of Enes Shav B'Zer Shal Aaron? If we say the vort of Enes Shav B'Zer Shal Aaron is that it's a mum, just a smaller mum, see, there wouldn't be chayv twice for the same issue. If we say, however, Enes Shav B'Zer Shal Aaron represents a new issue, that certainly applies to an individual who's a balmum. The person, the kohen who did the avoid who's a balmum, actually did two averes. He did the aver of mum and the aver of enish shabazer shel aaron. Ask the gemara, my ikka, what is the halachic difference between mum and shein and bazer shel aaron? Ikka mishum achule avoid. The nafkamina is, as we said at the beginning of the shir, will it disqualify the avoider? Mumma, if he has a full-fledged mum, meichel avoider. As the Torah says, "Diksev mum boy v'lo yichalal." If somebody has a mum, he's mechalal davoida. She'ain shav b'zera shel Aaron lo meichal avoida. He doesn't make the avoida possible. Continues the Gemara. My ikka be she'ain shav b'zera shel Aaron mishum maris ayin. There are other mumim that we're going to learn that are only also because maris ayin. Ikka benayosay. That's the girsa of Rashi. Rashi says that if somebody who's ain shav b'zera shel Aaron is oivabel asay. But he's not over in a lav. The Rambam, and we'll speak about this more in a second, says that's not only an assay, somebody who's einish shava b'zar shel aaron and does the avoid is over a lav. A maris ayin problem isn't even a lav or an assay. Which is interesting, because the Rambam says that whenever one violates a derabbanan, he's actually also violating a deraisa. Because the Torah says, "Loisosim adavah sheigidulcha yamin u'smal." So if the Chachamim said that maris ayin, that a kohen who has this maris ayin issue may not do the avoida, so according to the Rambam, he's over the lav of loisosir. Why does the Gemara say he's not over anything? So the Mefarshim say a very important word. There are two types of the rabbanans. There are rabbanans which are gzeiris and takonis. And indeed, the Rambam says that somebody who's over a gzeiru or takana that the Rabbanan instituted is over a lav, like saucer. But then there are a new type of the Rabbanan, that we're learning in our shir, of Maris Ayin, something that's only in the category of Maris Ayin, even the Rambam will agree is not a lav. It's just because of Maris Ayin, and therefore the Gemara indeed says he's not Oiver. So according to Rashi, he's Oiver a lav. I say, if he's Enish Shabbazar Shalar. According to the Rambam, he's Oiver a lav. Which opens up an interesting question. Because the Gemara says that if somebody has a nega, and he has on his body something which is a nega, and it's not a nega tame, it's a nega, it is a nega tame, you're not allowed to cut it off, even if he's a kohen who has to do the avoida. But why don't we say that the essay is doich alois essay? So the Mefarshim ask, according to the Rambam, it's not just an essay, there's a lav also. So why don't we say that the lav that makes Enes Shabbos Shal Aaron, Zahar Shal Aaron, allow you to cake off that nega? So Mefarshim respond that the Torah doesn't just say Enes Shabbos Zahar Shal Aaron, this is a very important word, Shin Duri Avoida, as long as he has that mum. The Mefarshim suggests that he's not allowed to change it, and if he's in that category, he becomes permanently disqualified. Continues the Gemara. Kiloin. The Mishnah mentioned the key line. What is the key line? The Dami Reish L'Achla, which means his head is narrow on top and wider on the bottom. Lifter is just the opposite. The Dami Reish L'Gilda the Lifter, wider on top and narrow on the bottom. Tana, V'Tzavari Oymid Be'emtza Reishai. That means his head is sort of suppressed. It's not right with the neck and then the head. Mekavin, the Dami Reish L'Makvin. Most explain, that means it's like a flat head. V'shirosh shokem l'fana, v'sekifas, v'shirosh shokem l'fana, means his head is slanty towards the front. Sekifas means that his head is slanty machorv in the back. K'di amri inshi, as people say, when they have this person with this problem, shokel pisa, as if his head is missing something. No, as most heads are straight in the back, here it's going slanty downward. Tani, the Brisa continues, v'tzavar is shokut v'shomut. If a person has a shokut or shomut, he's also disqualified. Shokut, what does shokut mean? The chavya mechavya, that means it looks like he has no neck. Shomut means the arch v'shomut, as if he has a very long neck. Bali chatoitrus, we learned in the Mishnah, a machloikis about a hunchback, where Yehuda says he's kosher, and the Chachamah hold his posel. Says the Gemara, the ispe etzem, if he has a bone, the hunchback is on a bone, extra bone, kula amaloi pligi the posel, that is a disqualification. Ki pligi, will he have a machloikis? The lespe etzem, where he doesn't have a bone. Ma sovar, hayinu shav b'zara shal aaron. He still doesn't look like all other Kohanim because he's a hunchback. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Omar's of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that cut the bisbam with just an extra piece of meat, it doesn't make him disqualified. Hakireach, somebody who's bald, the Mishnah said is possible. Omarava, Loy Shana Elish Emoy La'achrav, when is somebody considered bald? If he has hair that he doesn't have in the, hair in the back, Fiyeshla Lafana, but he has hair in the front. Ava Yeshlo La'achrav, if he has hair in the front and in the back, he's kosher. The Koshkein, certainly an individual, Sheyeshlo La'achrav, if he has hair in the back, Ve'emar Lufanov, he's a kosher coin. Vika Demisni, but others say that this statement should go on the Sefer. It's said in the Sefer that if somebody is bald, he's posel. But if Yeshlo, if he has hair, Harezek kosher, then he is kosher. On that says Rava, Lo shanu sheish loy la'achrav ein loy lefonav, that he has here in the back and not in the front. Ava yesh loy bein la'achrav ein lefonav, he has a ring of hair around his head, posel. Then he's posel. V'koshkein sheish loy lefonav ve'ein loy la'achrav, he has here in the front and not in the back. Or the ein loy klal, if he has no hair at all, the posel, that he's disqualified. The Tzofnes Pneich, the ragged shover, already was asked the question, what is going to be the halach of a kohen is a baldy, that the Gemara, that he was indeed a kireyach, he puts on a toupee. Will that be okay to make him into a kosher kohen? So the Ragged Shaver says that it wouldn't work because there's a new problem. We spoke earlier in our shir that the Kohanim have to wear big day kahuna. And there's a din of yitur begadim. They're not allowed to wear more big day kahuna than what the Torah prescribed. So you're putting on a toupee, you're putting on an extra begad that a Kohen is not allowed to have extra begadim. That's why he said a toupee wouldn't work. Other paiskim, I saw that the Shevet Alevi says, because since it's not permanent, it could be put on and taken off. That's why it's not considered that it solves the problem of kireach. But I did see for a real Yoshev that if somebody has hair implants, that would make them into a kosher kayin. No, because they become they go into the head. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hakarchonim, someone who's bald, Vananosim, somebody who's a dwarf, Vezavgonim, most explain Zavgonim means somebody who's constantly tearing. Others say that liquid comes out of his mouth, Psulin. All of them are possible to do the Avoida. Why? For they all fall into the category, Lefish Eina Shav Bezara Shal Aaron. They're not like other Kahanim. Ask the Gemara, what has Rabbi Yochanan taught us that we haven't learned? Kachonim Tanina. There's a Mishnah that's going to teach us about Kachonim, the Mishnah that we learned. And Anosim is also a Mishnah that we're going to learn. So what has he taught us that we have not learned previously? Answers the Gemara, Zalgonim Itzrichalei. He's coming to teach us the halacha of Zalgonim. And furthermore, you have to read these words into the Gemara after you learn Rashi, that we would think that the problem with Karchonim and Anosim is a Maris Ayin problem. Comes Rabbi Yochanan to teach us that it's more a Maris Ayin, it's Ein Shav Bezar Sha'aron. Umara Taima, like Mishra Maris Ayin, tells us Rabbi Yochanan that the issue with them is much more serious, as we learned on top of the Amid. It's not just a Maris Ayin issue, it's an issue of Ein Shav Bezar Sha'aron. Ask the Gemara, why would we think it's a Maris Ayin issue? For Kol Hechad Ikka Mishra Maris Ayin, wherever the Mishnah identifies a problem, and that the problem there is Maris Ayin, Misnik Tani, the Mishnah clearly indicates it's a Maris Ayin situation. As we're going to learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'shenishnu Risei Einov, Posel, Maris Ayin. So if our Mishnah, when it speaks about Karchonim, or the Mishnah when it speaks about Nanosim, does not indicate that the issue is Maris Ayin, it's obvious not Maris Ayin. So back to our question, what is Rabbi Yochanan coming to teach us that we haven't learned already? Answers the Gemara, Madatei Metani Chada, we would think that maybe the Mishnah one time mentions the Maris Ayin, and in the other cases where there's a Maris Ayin problem, the Mishnah doesn't have to say it. V'u'adin l'kula. Ask the Gemara, how can you think that way? For Kolhecha de Ika, wherever we have such a issue, Mehed Misnak Tani, the Mishnah does say it, because there's another Mishnah that again speaks about a Maris Ayin problem, Shnit L'Shin Apostle named Maris Ayin. So we're back to where we started. The Gemara says that the reason Rabbi Yochanan taught us the Aloch of Karachonim Nanosim is not to make the mistake to think that it's just Maris Ayin. Of course it's not Maris Ayin, because if the issue were Maris Ayin, the Mishnah would so say. Answers the Gemara, Lefuki Mahadu Tanya, he wants to say that we shouldn't follow the following Braisa. The Tanya, there's a Braisa that says, Karchonim, Vayanosim, Zagonim, Ksherim. V'la'am Psul El Mashum, Maris Ayin. This Braisa says that these deficiencies are Maris Ayin problems. Teaches us Rabbi Yochanan, we don't pass on like that Braisa. Ask the Gemara, Man Haitana, who is the Tanna that Braisa that says that Midaraisa, Kachonim, and Anosim, and Zalagonim are not possible? Rabbi Yehudahi. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Midaraisa, these individuals, are kosher to do the Avoida. The Tanya, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Hakohanim, the Torah says, Hakohanim, with the extra hay, Larabas Hakohanim, that a bald Kohen, Midaraisa, may do the Avoida. He's only also because of Maris Ayin. Rabbi Yochanan holds it's also Midaraisa, because it's Ein Shav Bezar Shalaron. Teaches us the Mishnah. Ein Loi Gevinim. If he doesn't have eyebrows. Or Ein Loi Ela Gevin Echad. Or he only has one eyebrow. Zeh Gibin Ha'om V'Torah. The Torah says that a Kohen who's a Gibin may not do the Avoida. That is the Gibin. Rav Dai Simon, Shegvinin Shoichvin. If he has very long eyelashes. So I saw the Paiskim debate. What is the halacha if somebody has very long eyelashes, but he could cut them? And he cuts them. Is he possible? So most poskim say, if he cuts them and they're not too long, he's fine. I did see that there are poskim that say that he would still be possible. Why? Because if he has long eyelashes, even if he cuts them, they're going to grow long again. And therefore, it's considered a mum even when they're cut. Rechanina Mantegnis, however, goes on a different track. And he says that Gibin has nothing to do with the eyelashes. Rather, or the eyebrows. He says, Shiesh lo shtei gabim v'shnei shadras. He has two backs and two spines. That is a Gibin. Ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah defines Gibin as someone who doesn't have the Gibin, the Ein Loi Mashma, that is missing the eyebrows. For Minu, it says in a Braisa, Gibin Shesh, like Gvinim Harbe, that he has many eyebrows. Ein Loi Gvinim, if he doesn't have two, or Ein Loi Ela Gvin Echad, he only has one, Minayin, Tamalayma Oy Gibin. So we see just the opposite of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah defines Gibin as an individual who's missing. And this Braisa says Gibin is an individual who does have. The only way we know somebody who's missing is also disqualified is from the word Oy. Amarava, you have to add in Ta Mishnah, Zeh Medrash Oy Gibin. Indeed, the word Gibin has nothing to do with somebody who's missing. What the Mishnah is speaking about is the word Oy in the Pasuk of Oy Gibin. That's what our Mishnah is explaining. Rav Dosi said it has nothing to do with the eyebrows. It has to do with the back. And it's an individual who has two backs and two spines. Ask the Gemara, Lemember the Chai, can such an individual even survive? Vitmar, the Gemara says, Masechta Nida, Hamapelis, Ber Yoshiesh Leishnei Gabim, Mishnei Shadras, if somebody miscarries a child that had two backs and two spines, from Rav, and Rav says, regarding such a case, Be'ish Ein Vlad, that child is not considered a viable child that we learned the other day there's a din of Tumas later. That when a woman has a baby, a boy she's tummy no matter what for 7 days, a girl she's tummy no matter what for 14 days, it wouldn't apply by such a child. But behema, asa bachila, such an animal is considered a nevela, says the Gemara. Kvar, roman nile, rasimi bachila raf. Rav Shimi Bachir once asked this question to Rav, Va'omalei, and he said, Shimiyat. And there's a number of explanations, what did he mean when he said Shimiyat? One is, Rashi explains, Shimiyat, you're a great person. You need to ask that question of me. You can't answer it yourself. That's one pshat. The other pshat is just the opposite. Shimiyat, he was saying to him, and in fact, he was his relative, could be he was his grandson. Simiat, you're making me proud, Simi, that you're asking a good question. A third pshat that I saw, a very interesting pshat. We know that a person is not allowed to call his Rebbe by his name. But let's say somebody becomes such a great Talmud Chacham that he's already greater than his Rebbe. Then he's already allowed to call his Rebbe by his name. So the word here is not Shimi, but Shmi. Shmi, you could call me by my name. Rav's name was Abba. You have shown that you are a great Talmud Chacham, and you are worthy of Shmi to call me by my name. El b'shadrasa kuma. We're not talking about a person that has two backs and two spines. Such a person can never survive. We're talking about it as a terrible hunchback. Hacharim, somebody who's a charim, apostle. Ask the Mishnah, Ezel charim, hachaychol shtei enof ka'achas. He has no bridge between the two eyes. And as the Chazon Ish explains, the word Chorim is from the Lashon Chorif. All of us, our faces are at Tzelem Elokim. A face that's so misformed is Chorim from the Tzelem Elokim. Shtei Ein of Numar is going to explain the next cases in tomorrow's shir. Shtei Ein of Lamala, or Shtei Ein of Lamata. Ein of Achas Lamala, the Ein of Achas Lamata. Raya, as a cheder, as aliyah, keched, are all disqualified. Sochei shemesh. So most mafarshim explain sochei shemesh as a person who can't look up to the sun. There's a very interesting psak for a Moshe Feinstein based on this Gemara. We know that in Chol HaMoed, we're not supposed to really do malacha, only what's necessary. So what is the halacha? If someone's glasses broke on Yontav and Chol HaMoed, so a person that wears eyeglasses without his eyeglasses is in big trouble. So certainly he's allowed to have them repaired on Chol HaMoed. The question that was asked to Ramosha was somebody whose sunglasses broke on Chol HaMoed. Is he allowed to have them repaired? So Ramosha said, from Al Gemara we see that not being able, that the sun bothering you is a real problem. And if you need your sunglasses, you could repair them on Chol HaMoed. Vazagdon. A zagdon is anybody who isn't in shape. Whatever we have impairs eyes and ears and hands aren't lined up properly. But Siron, speak about all this mitzvah tomorrow's ear. Vishnashru Risa Enof, his eyelids fell out. Possible of Maris Ayin are all in the category Maris Ayin. Tarabonon, Chorum. What is the definition of a Chorum? Shechoitmoy Shalkua. That is, his bridge between his eyes is sunken in. Chaitmai solid, if it's very short. Chaitmai, if his nose is very short. Chaitmai bolum, if his nose, if his nostrils are closed up. Chaitmai naitif, if it's constantly, if it's very long, and it goes below, all the way to his mouth. Minayin, that too is considered a mum. Tamaloymer oichorum, that those are also mumim. Rav Yosheimer, en chorum. He has to be completely no bridge at all. Amalei, to which they told him, heflakto. That's ready, it doesn't have to be so serious. Even if there's somewhat of a bridge, but it's much less than the normal human being, it's already, according to the Chacham Amum.